Hi, everybody. On this, we can all agree. We know when we're off kilter. Things aren't balanced. Something's amiss. Not quite right. Or life is grossly out of proportion when the tail is wagging the dog. All of that. I remember once declaring that I was out of whack. You know that phrase? I can still hear my sister, who in teasing retort would say to me, out of whack, as opposed to being in whack. How do we remain in balance, optimized, or even keeled? What we're studying today are some ways to achieve balance. Let's begin with the term that we'll all recognize because it's likely overused, work-life balance. We're taught that, or we're socialized that we have to have balance in our work and in our lives. We should strive to get it, and then we should strive to keep it. That assumes that there is or will be imbalance. Instinctively, we know when we don't have it. We know when we're out of whack. So you want or need to regain balance? Want to avoid imbalance? Even better. We've all heard that term, work-life balance. It's been thrown around so much. It's become cliche, but that doesn't diminish its importance. Good balance can preserve your sanity when you're facing stress, and that can be in your work life and trying to balance, or what some might call life and trying to balance that. For those of us who are still working or who maintain commitments such as caregiving or volunteering, there's a want and a need for healthy balance. As for work, studies have shown that work-life balance is the main determinant of career success for both men and women. Unfortunately, other surveys have found that fully one-third of workers believe that maintaining work-life balance is harder now than ever. While that begs the question, how can you get a handle on work-life balance in your life? So for the purposes of our topic today, let's loosely define work as commitments, such as traditional work, career stuff, caregiving, or volunteering. And then let's define life as lifestyle, health and pleasure, leisure, family, spiritual pursuits. And lastly, let's simply refer to our goal as balance and go with that, okay? Now, I'm drawing from Wikipedia here with this definition. Work-life balance is a concept including proper prioritization between work, which is career and ambition, and lifestyle, the health, pleasure, leisure stuff. With that definition in mind, we got to define what makes up the optimized balance that they're talking about. Is it a 50-50 split between commitment and lifestyle choices? Is it so you don't get stressed out while you're devoting your time to commitments? Is it so you can go on vacation anytime you want to? Is it temporarily borrowing from one so you can get to the other later? To a large degree, this balance is a deeply personal and highly individualized to each person. We got to take a look at ourselves and what we're doing when we have balance and when we don't. If needed, we can devise resolution from that. So here's some ways to achieve or maintain balance. And by the way, take what you need and leave the rest. There's that caveat within all of my conversations with you. But here's five ways to achieve some balance. First, set boundaries appropriately. Setting boundaries means you're going to have some limits with regards to your commitments. Certain times and days, you won't engage in anything but the commitment because you specially set aside time for that. And time for the personal leisure interest. Setting boundaries is an attractive concept, but it's easier said than done for so many especially the career-minded individuals who seem to be married to their jobs. That was me. With that in mind, here comes some actionable recommendations on how you can set boundaries. Keep your commitment time separate from your lifestyle time. One idea is not do any commitment-related tasks after a certain time each day. It is okay not to work after hours or on weekends, despite what you see on TV or social media. Don't respond to any commitment-related messages or emails on your phone. Since you're going to have your phone with you all the time, it is okay to let calls go to voicemail. Really, that's why voicemail was created. To not miss a thing, to keep us in the loop, but to allow us control. Another idea, take official break times during your commitment day. Allow yourself time to decompress and recharge during your day. I have a nephew whom I admire who once casually mentioned to me, "I walk outside every day at 6 p.m. I thought about that, and I began to do it too. I think that's a nice little break, and I enjoy that now. Use entire weekends to do personal or leisure life activities, whether that's family time or meditation or catching up on your favorite hobby, it is okay. I used to first clear any commitment work on Saturday mornings in hopes of getting to the leisure part. Nowadays, I make different choices using some of the ideas that I'm sharing with you today. It is A-okay to respect the fact that you can't pursue commitments nonstop, which is where boundaries have to come into the picture to allow for that balance. Otherwise, you risk burning out. Secondly, become productive. Productivity is on the minds of every career-minded person. They understand that it empowers them to accomplish more in less time. Being productive is the key to stellar balance, as getting more done on the commitment side means you have more free time for the lifestyle side. These productivity ideas that I'm about to share with you helps with balance, whether you're inside the commitment part or inside lifestyle endeavors. So, part of being productive is organization. Now here we're talking about calendars, everything from our own, whether that's on paper or online, or whether it's your own calendar or combined with those of others, whether it's the family chalkboard or the combined electronic calendars that we all reference on our phones. In my work or commitment time, I utilize reminders and alarms that help me to know that it's time for a meeting, time to log in, etc. And there are elaborate tools that can help you organize your life, such as Evernote. Think of that as your go-to one-stop filing cabinet in the cloud. And for tasks, there are task management apps like Todoist. I'll put the links to these apps and other articles I'm going to mention. They'll be below the video. I enjoy using a tool called ColorNote. It's an app that lets me jot down ideas using my phone. It's great for when I'm in meetings, or sometimes I dictate right into ColorNote if I need to capture that next big idea or remind myself to call somebody later. Plus, I'm pleased because it looks like a little yellow legal pad, and somehow that makes me happy. Another technique is called theming. When you theme your days, weeks, or months, you can automatically take the work of thinking about what to do for that given amount of time right out of the equation. This leaves you with extra time. You can immediately get down to the tasks that you need to do for your commitment. For instance, Monday could be a commitment day. Tuesday could be for something different. I hold my Fridays open for creating. less structured time for writing segments like this, researching a project, planning a leisure outing or trip, something that seems more lifestyle oriented and free of commitment. So there's organization, theming. Next we have time management. Knowing how to manage your time effectively and schedule your commitment or your lifestyle time accordingly will give you lots of breathing room. It helps to block off parts of your day for only specific tasks so that you know exactly what you have to do at any given amount of time. I utilize something called time blocking. Time blocking or time boxing strategies help make the most of my time. I can vouch for this because I do use it. I devote time for development, and that usually is for speaking or writing. It goes hand in hand with the theming. I know which day that I have a chunk of time devoted or I'm available for this or that. As a result, my calendar, my availability, and my mind are not all willy-nilly. I feel more in control. The third thing we can do to achieve balance is learn to prioritize. Prioritizing means being able to honestly and intelligently determine what tasks demand our immediate attention, the needs versus the wants. Knowing that, keeping it clear, will empower you to do the crucial tasks that need to get done so you don't feel so overwhelmed. This strategy is not an ingenious way to get the most important things done, but it's helpful in identifying what's truly important and what is not. We can all become overwhelmed because we lose our sorting. We default into thinking that we got to get it all done, and we drive ourselves. When you can prioritize commitment tasks in this manner, you're better able to decide what you can either postpone to a later time or nix the idea altogether so that you have ultimately have more time for the personal lifestyle life. The trick with prioritization is that it takes a little extra time and work up front, but you'll reap the benefits of more time to do the things you want to do later down the line. So when you're prioritizing, ask yourself, is this task really crucial? Meaning, it can't wait, or I'll have bad consequences if I don't do it right now. Or just as important, it implies that, maybe if I do this, I'll have that free time later. Or I'll create more leeway for myself even inside the commitment time. When I worked inside cubicle land, I worked in a call center, I once had a coworker who earned 110% productivity. And I went to her and asked her, how did she do that? And she showed me some of her methods, including time blocking and some automation that she used. But when it came to prioritizing, she said to me, I asked myself a really silly, simple, but absolute question. I asked myself, what things I have to do first so I don't lose my job? And then, she said, I take another look at how I can do those things well, faster, better, with organization and time management. She said, then I look at hacks and tricks to make it fun. And then once the commitment is honed and completed, then I can add in the rest because there was more time. So the more you get in the habit of evaluating your tasks in ways like this and being intellectually honest with yourself, the sooner you'll get to a point where you have choice. Choice over what you want to do because all the must-dos have been completed. That brings control, ease, and with it, choices that are more fun. You may then decide if you want to use your extra wiggle room for self-improvement or rest or spending time with friends or family. The fourth way to achieve balance is to minimize distractions as much as possible. This one is a real challenge for me. I respond to dings and screen notifications. I at least look at my phone when it beckons, and then there's not an easy choice to make. During your commitment hours, anything that doesn't contribute to getting your tasks done more efficiently is essentially a distraction. If it gets in the way of doing the tasks fully and properly, it's a distraction. The dilemma is that the distractions abound more than ever in our digital world. We're plagued by text messages and emails and social media and smartphone notifications and phone calls and alarms that we ourselves have set. Yeah, you know, that could be relevant to your commitment time, some of that, if it's specifically related to that. Some communication is necessary to execute your tasks and responsibilities. And the same for social media. If you're using it to promote your commitment time and only during that commitment time, then that's justifiable too. The distractors I'm talking about are the problem uses of these actions, such as texting your friends or family during commitment time, constantly checking emails, using social media during time at the commitment, failing to turn my smartphone notifications off, and taking inappropriate calls during that part of the day. These are distractors. They're also distractors during your lifestyle time, too. You know, work and commitments do and will call, as will needy relatives, and unplanned events will manifest, emergencies, and we have to respond to them. Guilty here. But here's the thing. Distractions are a choice. We can eliminate a lot of them. We can cut down on distractions by only checking our phone during breaks or lunchtime. Some jobs have built this in by requiring that cell phones be in lockers. Limit yourself to only checking emails once or twice during your commitment time. Conversely, deny or limit commitment time. Don't allow that to spill into your lifestyle time. I know, it's easier said than done. And that's why we're having this conversation today. Make your use of social media time two-faced. Make it two-faced. Do the commitment social media during the commitment time, and then do the lifestyle, fun social media during that time. Try hard to split it and to self-monitor. And law students are famous for doing this. They install an app that doesn't allow their email to be opened, or they limit their screen time. I found in my research for this segment a few focus apps for your review, and I'll make sure that the link goes in the notes below. Does anybody else find it ironic that the distractors that may be electronic are also the solution? The organizers may be electronic also. It's not lost on me. I found a few articles about eliminating distractions, and you'll see the links below this video. And among the ideas was to stop multitasking. Yep, the opinions on the value of multitasking have 180'd back to being a bad thing. I read ideas like turning off email notifications. I mean, did you know you could? Or if you're in an office, using headphones. If you're in an office, you can create a D&D sign, do not disturb sign. I saw this work to some degree when I was working in cubicle land. In one of the articles, aptly called An Addict's Guide to Overcoming the Distraction Habit, I found a truth, at least for me. The author was talking about defining our distractions and suggesting that FOMO lives in every distraction. FOMO, fear of missing out, lives in every distraction. The little paragraph that hit me read, distractions, of course, are often about the fear of missing out. We can't possibly take part in every cool thing that everybody else is doing, but we also don't want to miss out on any part of it. So we listen and look online for what's going on, what people are doing and saying, what's hot. None of that actually matters. What matters is being content, doing things that make people's lives better, learning, being compassionate, helping. So let's go out of what we were missing out on and focus on the difference we want to make in the world. Man, that hit me. It gave me permission to be distracted. It explained why I might be distracted, and then it went on to tell me what to do about it. Now, this lady appreciates a problem-to-solution format. There's benefit to having a plan for interruptions. We can all assume there's going to be distractors in our lives, in our day. When working on my computer, I keep a document open in the background for intruding thoughts, next big things, or in case I just need to stop, need a way to easily return. So I will write I named this document, by the way, Park It. So whatever I'm working on, I can literally stop in that document and type the word stopped in red. Or I can put it on my Park It document and easily return to it. The idea is for us to give this a bit of forethought ahead of time, to plan for interruptions and then react or tend to whatever we need to or declare it for later, and then quickly and easily resume our task. Getting balance right. The biggest takeaway is that you have to really commit to this balance work for you. That's why it's so important to make definitive decisions, such as setting boundaries or not replying or refusing to deal with commitment-related issues after a certain time each day or on certain days, like the weekend. Secondly, if you enjoy the little wins along the way, as I do, you get to design your routine. Make the decisions. Garner your wiggle room. Take back control. Feel good about the decisions because you've honored your commitments. And now there's ample lifestyle time. That's the biggest win. You've arrived at balance. Keep in mind, it can take a little experimenting and trying out different methods until you arrive at what works for you, both in commitments, such as work or caregiving or volunteering, or in lifestyle pursuits. Keep at it until you find your unique way, your methods, something you find logical, doable, your fit, and talk about it. Others may learn from you, or you may pick up some nuggets from them. I gotta tell you, I'm a work in progress. I'm better than I was, and I'm open to ideas for improvement. So in these next seven keywords, here's what we've just covered. They all have something very specific in common, so pay attention to these words, and I'll divulge what they have in common. Commitment, lifestyle, balance, boundaries, organization, prioritizing, distractions. Those seven words. Every single one of those words represents a choice. How cool is that? Your choices. You make the plans, the ones that work for you. I hope something that I've said today helps you to move more comfortably forward in both your commitments and your lifestyle, and helps you to find and keep balance. Thanks, everybody.